Media. Find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Edition of American Exposé. This is Chris Gerner. It's the 24th of August, Tuesday the 24th. Darren did the broadcast last night. I was working. I did not listen, but the results are on the website. Quite informative information for certain, although the part of it I could not get on my antiquated computer, which appears to be changing pretty soon, I'm told. Which is something wonderful to look forward to. Ah, boy. Things are just, you know, I thought a lot this weekend about this that I do. And the reflex of some people with the negativity that I portray all the time. You know, what can I say? It's a reality that we live today. It's a sad commentary that everything appears to be fine, but it's not. And we have people that are just so dumbed down that they think we're going off to Iraq to fight for freedom. But we have history to learn from, and we don't even learn from history. What I'm trying to say is those in charge, and who are they, and how many are there, have done a masterful job of deceiving the population of the world, especially the population in this country. They've done a masterful job, that's the only word you can put forth at this late date, of 2004. And it only makes sense to me that Kerry's going to be the next president. George Walker Bush will be just like George Herbert Walker Bush, who will occupy a four-year period of presidency in the White House. Although George Herbert Walker Bush was vice president for 8 years under Reagan. What does that mean? I would say it doesn't matter, and it hasn't mattered, and most of you realize that, who's in the office. They work towards this one-world governmental system of which we are a part of. It's not being created. It's been created. It's in place. They're just subtly implementing it without trying to create panic among the world's population. Of course, part of the world is in panic. The people of China are in desperate situations. We're never told that, but you can research it for yourself. But what does China want? They want democracy. And the UN's democratizing the world, and Dread China is a member of the United Nations. Does that make any sense to you? Does that make any sense to anyone? Does that prove the fact that we're being deceived and deliberately maneuvered into certain directions of communism, which is communitarianism today, in certain respects, which is in Washington, D.C.? That's the point and the problem. And all I can say is, with all this deception that's going on around us, all over the globe, and here, I mean, we're spending billions of dollars overseas, and we have people that are losing their jobs, people that can't find ways to sustain themselves. So you know there's a major agenda in place. And this movement into sustainable communities is very subtle and is being promoted very highly and recommended very highly by those elitists. Smart growth is nothing more than land grabs. The ultimate end goal is nobody's going to own property. And I just, you know, at this juncture, I'm just perplexed as to how to change things, to make a difference. I don't see how things are going to change with whatever any of us do. I even think the other side wants us to do something foolish. But you notice how the word militia is being promoted all over the globe as being evil. And I hope you realize that, but that's a setup. As I did the shortwave broadcast today for Discount Gold and Silver Trading, Melody Cedarstrom, I covered the free trade area of the Americas and some major players of it. And that was William Jasper's information that I covered, quite reflective of what's going on with the UN system. Free trade area of the Americas is nothing more than the expansion of NAFTA, which is part of GATT, which was formed in 1947. If you do your research, you'll find that's to be true. But I keep reiterating and coming back to the fact that we've been purposely dumbed down starting in the 1930s. We've been purposely drugged down starting in the 1970s or 60s. And so here we see in the Oklahoman, dated yesterday, Monday, that they're saying households convert back to homeschool traditions. And it's just obvious that this is a common thought for most people, especially here in Oklahoma. They see here the Edmond family starts the day together in the kitchen, where they eat breakfast, and Dad and Brian leads Bible and history lessons. After he heads down the hall to his home office, Roxanne takes their four children to the cozy homeschool room upstairs to study Latin, math, and science. Wow. Latin, math, and science. reason for learning Latin. It's supposed to be a good foundation for English. It says the schedule for their new school year, which started last week, is tapped to the oven door for easy reference. It sets times for their children, Matthew 15, Lauren 13, David 12, and Jonathan 10, to read, practice piano, do household chores, and study grammar, literature, and writing. The homeschool households back to school means a transition not only for the students, but also for the adults who fill the dual roles of teacher and parent. Before classes start, homeschool parents must prepare lesson plans, schedules, and grade books for the new year. While it's fresh on their mind, Parks, who has been homeschooling for 4 years, figures out the teaching approaches she wants to keep for the next year and the ones she wants to discard. Quote, I'm always thinking, since I'm now in charge of their education, it's an ever-evolving job, and you're always looking for new ideas. Mentally, I do give myself a break from it in the summer, but I never leave it, end quote. She begins readying for the new year the first week of August, when Christian Heritage Academy's homeschool satellite program sponsors Prep to Teach Week. The school offers divisionals, seminars, and workstations to help teaching parents gear up for the new year. Parks prepares for syllabus, daily schedules, lesson plans, and school supply lists during the week. Anyway, the point is, according to this information, almost 1.1 million students are homeschooled last year. That's a 29% increase since 1999, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. How did they find out? Interesting thought. Interesting thought. In the survey, parents gave different reasons for choosing to homeschool. 31% cited concerns about the environment in public schools, including drugs, lack of safety, and negative peer pressure. Well, that's a good reason to homeschool, isn't it? 30% wanted to be able to teach moral and religious lessons, another good reason to take children out of public schools. 16% said they were dissatisfied with academic instruction at other schools, another good reason to homeschool. And there you have it, people. In-your-face common-sense reasoning about why homeschooling is on the rise. It also states that national homeschool advocates put the number of homeschool students at closer to 2 million. Also, estimates put the number of Oklahoma homeschoolers at 20,000, although that's probably a conservative number. Oklahoma doesn't require parents to notify authorities if they decide to homeschool, so accurate figures are hard to get. And that's the proper way to be. You shouldn't have to be able, shouldn't have to be demanded upon that you have to state that you're going to homeschool your child. Although, with the created crisis in the family, there's a lot of irresponsible parents out there. And it is a sad commentary that we have these Hegelian dialectics set up for us long before we were even doing the right thing for ourselves. But that is just a sad, sad situation. It's nice that you can still homeschool. It's nice that homeschooling is being done. But how many parents have the ability to do that? How many out there have the ability to handle a job and homeschool at the same time? Well, Darren does, the webmaster who did the broadcast last night. That man has a full-time job, has two children in homeschools. His wife has a full-time job. So together, They do the best they can to overcome the obstacles that have been put in our place, put in front of us, to accept. Although Darren does not accept the obstacles, and they homeschool their children. And yet he has time to do the broadcast on Monday night, every other Monday night. And he thoroughly researches what he does. And my point is that, yes, you've got to deal with documentation. You've got to connect the dots with documentation. You can't deal in speculation. You just can't. If you want to increase the numbers of people paying attention and trying to do something about it. Here we see on yesterday's front page, Ardmore Marine killed. 22-year-old was scheduled to come back home from his second tour of duty next month. Private Nanchez Washalata the second, killed Saturday when a roadside bomb exploded near his convoy outside Mosul, Iraq. Died from massive trauma to his lower body. Just one more. How many more are going to die for this setup situation that we have for our young people? When will it ever let up? It seems every decade or two, a war has to be created. That's what Iron Mountain was all about, finding alternatives to war. Alternatives other than war for controlling mankind. Sustainable development is nothing more than a euphemism for population control. When you try to deal with the hope and the documentation and the general direction things are turning, and nobody will listen, it becomes very discouraging. Now, last night, Darren was talking about the Ark of Hope. I've never heard of it before. I'll admit it. I'm sure he gave a very good dissertation of it. I was amazed to look at this. Inside the Ark's lid is the Earth Day, or the Earth Charter, written on papyrus paper. The University of Cairo supplied Sally, I'm not sure who she is because I haven't researched this, with instructions for making paper with papyrus, a plant known to have the ability to purify water of pollutants. The papyrus was harvested from the Living Systems Incorporated, a waste treatment plant in South Burlington, Vermont, soaked for 2 weeks in Sally's bathtub, then pressed using 90,000 pounds of pressure at Longsdale Papers, a Vermont papermaker in East Topsham. The Ark of Hope was created for a celebration of the Earth Charter held at Shelburne Farms, Vermont, on September 9, 2001. Well, fascinating information that Darren supplied and put on the website. I mean, people, this is just symbolic to no end. And here you see the three images, actually there's five images. Water, air, spirit, fire, earth. I'm sorry I did not hear the broadcast last night, but I will catch it on the archives. Every little bit interconnects, but it all connects to Agenda 21 today. That's control of mankind, sustainable development, sustainable communities. There's much to understanding what's being developed for us and at us. sustainable development is not being paid attention to. Even the UN system isn't even paying attention to Agenda 21 in Iran and Iraq. They're not ready yet. That is the problem. Is they're not on their knees yet. Vietnam has very little sustainable development. We have social aspects of sustainable development in the United States. Every country has social aspects of sustainable development in their country. And they stress so much in America. We're the leader of sustainable development. This country is the leader of sustainable development. The State Department has that new website, Sustainable Partnerships. This is a sad, sad scenario that most people don't pay attention to. When you connect these dots to the United States and other countries, well, think about the last major war we had, which was not a war, a police action, but we lost it on purpose, designed to be lost, Vietnam. They have social aspects of sustainable development in Vietnam. Well, before I get to our country, let's cover Vietnam. This information was provided by the government of Vietnam to the fifth session of the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development. And the last update was April 1997. And under the heading of education, no information available. No information available. No information available. Education and training, they say, have improved, but they still do not meet the national development requirements, especially in terms of quality. Then no information available. No information available. Well, you go to our country, they say under the heading of education, in the social aspects of sustainable development in the United States of America, the United States Environmental Protection Agency's EPA Office of Environmental Education is a full member of the National Coordinating Body for Sustainable Development and is responsible for environmental education activities. The National Environmental Education Advisory Council provides the administrator of EPA, remember the EPA is part of the State Department, with independent advice on how the agency implements the National Environmental Education Act. The council serves as an important communication mechanism which links the federal government with educators around the country. Now you can search this out. Any country on the whole planet, every country on the whole planet except a handful, and Iran and Iraq are one of them, have a social aspect of sustainable development if they're a member of the UN system, and most of them are. You'll find, as you do your research into this, the developing countries are putting forth more and more, but we're the leaders of all of this. We're setting the example of sustainable development to the world. The State Department is a major player in implementing this. It goes on to say, although the EPA is not directly involved in a national strategy on education, it has been involved with the National Science and Technology Council's Committee on Education and Training. Now, what is that? That's the NSTC/CET. According to the President's Council for Sustainable Development, the PCSD, the Task Force on Public Linkage, Dialogue, and Education, quote, an educated public is our most powerful resource to meet the challenges created by increasing environmental, economic, and social demands, end quote. Well, listeners, an educated public, educated in what mannerisms? educated about the environment? I mean, we just covered the fact that so many families are homeschooling because they aren't getting the proper education in school. So the brainwashing through sustainable development continues. Their education is dumbing down people to the point where they'll be good stewards for the land, but you'll never own it, and they'll never own it. And they'll realize that, and they'll accept that fact that they'll never own land in their life because they're told to do so at a young age. They're told not to own land at an early age. A big, happy family. So they go on to state, recognizing the importance of education. That's a laugher. The council created this task force to serve as the vehicle through which the work of the council is accessible to the public for information, review, and comment. In addition to information dissemination on sustainable development, the PCSD and its activities, the Public Linkage Task Force promotes dialogue and outreach between the PCSD and community networks. Through its efforts, the task force hopes to foster national understanding of sustainable development. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, encourages partnerships, mobilizes resources, provides information, and assesses the needs of different population groups. It also works with United Nations agencies and organizations to provide guidance to policy development and technical assistance to benefit developing countries. There's a whole chapter devoted to technology transfer in Agenda 21, keep in mind. The EPA encourages partnerships, mobilizes resources, provides information, and assesses the needs of different population groups, they say. It also works with the United Nations agencies and organizations to provide guidance on policy development and technical assistance to benefit developing countries. Do you know how important that sentence is? Do you understand how we've been deceived and directed into these false situations for our global governance system? I hope so. I hope you have enough knowledge, and I hope you're developing enough knowledge, and I hope you're learning to go to the right places to do your research to document where it's going, so you can document to others what's happening. And some are going to say, oh, gee, I can't be bothered with that. Someday we're all going to be bothered by it, and with it, and to it. So, the social aspects of sustainable development in Vietnam, they don't have any. But in America, the National Strategy on Education is prepared by the Department of Education. At the Department of Education, Ronald Reagan voted on a platform in 1979 and 80. He promoted that platform of demolishing the Department of Education. He promised to eliminate the Department of Education, the NEA. He lied. Politicians will say anything they can to get elected and selected. We're going to be stuck with another Democrat in office, I'm afraid. But, once again, it's all the status quo that works towards a global governance system. We're just going to be close to losing our guns once Kerry gets in office. But back to this National Strategy on Education when we return. The social aspects of sustainable development in this country.
Expressed are those of the hosts and guests. and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pam Stegner. Do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals, Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435 or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the broadcast called American Exposé, doing the best I can to help to get you tuned in to what's really happening. I don't know how else to put it, people. We're totally mind controlled. This is the greatest experiment of all time, and it's been successful in manipulating the vast majority of the population of the world into accepting a global governance system that has been growing ever so steadily since the beginning of the 20th century. Now it's in place. Now it's under implementation. Now we're being told to accept certain things, and if we don't accept them, they have ways of dealing with us. And that's a sad, sad thing to be thinking about at this point in time. But when you have these social aspects of sustainable development in every country in the world, and the report card is clear that this country is leading the entire world into this system of sustainable development. It comes from this country. The UN was formed in this country. the UN's in this country, to get out of the UN and get the UN out of this country, is impossible. That's a terrible thing to say, but I said it. I'm not trying to depress you, although the reason for being depressed is out there. And when you see all the documentation of the fact that homeschooling is on the rise, and I don't know how families do it, I'm so in awe of families that homeschool and work, and they overcome all the obstacles to continue to educate their children. Well, I'm very proud of all those that do. And Darren is one of them. And his wife, Michelle. I'll tell you, people, it's so far along. And let me get back into this education system of sustainable development. They say the National Strategy on Education is prepared by the Department of Education and includes such programs as Goals 2000 and School to Work. We've talked about this many times in the past, haven't we? Although there is no single network for either schools or universities, there are many examples of national programs at both levels. At the primary school level, school curricula have already been reviewed and revised. And at the secondary school level, the revision of school curricula is being undertaken currently to address environment and development as a cross-cutting issue. There are no plans to revise school curricula in vocational schools. The topics of environmental health, safe drinking water, sanitation, food, ecosystems, recycling, and energy saving are taught on an ad hoc basis at all school levels. This is the point. If you're in public school, this is what you're going to get. This is why homeschooling is on the rise. Because parents realize how far along this has become and going. It's not going to stop. But they're going to overcome it by homeschooling. And that is a commendable direction, people. Now, listen to some more of this crapola. They say the National Environmental Education Advisory Council, that's the National Environmental Education Advisory Council, have you ever heard of them before? Consultative body of the Department of Education is comprised of 11 individuals who are appointed by the administrator of the EPA. Can you believe that? First of all, how many of you have heard of a National Education Advisory Council? How many of you knew it was a consultative body of the Department of Education and is comprised of 11 appointed individuals by the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency? I mean, that's sinister. But most people don't give a damn. Women, NGOs, local authorities, business and industry, and the scientific and technical communities are members of the council. To meet its mandate, the task force seeks to engage the business, environmental, labor, civil rights, educational, and religious communities in the PCSD. Once again, the PCSD is the President's Council on Sustainable Development. The task force is identifying and creating outreach opportunities for the council through the use of print, audio, and visual media, as well as via satellite. Well, doesn't this all fit to what I've covered in the past? They go on to state there are many in-service programs available to teachers and other environmental education professionals through state education agencies, the federal government, non-governmental organizations, non-profit education and professional associations, the academic community, the tribal government agencies as well. They've got all the avenues covered, in other words, for teaching sustainable development and smart growth in the schools. Training, they say, takes place in both informal and non-formal settings. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, sponsors a variety of teacher training programs through the Environmental Education Division. On the other hand, they say there is very little pre-service training available to environmental educators beyond single courses. They go on to state the U.S. has been involved in several awareness-raising programs and activities aimed at the population at large, Earth Day, industry-supported campaigns, the Ag Council, Program KAB, Arbor Day, Globe Program, the Discovery Channel, the National Geographic Programs, CNN, Zoo Q. Oh, yes, Zoo Q. Not to leave them out. As It Happens is another one, and water cleanup programs, etc. These are U.S.-based awareness-raising programs and activities aimed at the population at large. The Global Learning and Observations to Benefit the Environment, GLOBE, was initiated to enable elementary and secondary school students to collect environmental data, report the data through the Internet, and receive synthesized reports from national environmental centers. You suppose they know anything about the Global Fire Monitoring Center? Where every fire in the world is monitored so people won't be able to come back to the land they used to live on where it was burned down. In many respects, that's going to happen. They go on to state regarding the use of tools for environmental education. Printed material is often used in the primary school level, the university level, and occasionally in secondary schools. Audio-visual tools are often used in primary and secondary school and at the university level. In vocational schools, audio-visual materials are used occasionally. Once key communications networks are identified, they can be used to disseminate a variety of information pieces, including a newly developed English and Spanish brochure highlighting the work of the Council and Task Forces. The Biodiversity and Ecosystems Network, the BENI, B-E-N-I. How many of you have heard of that? The Biodiversity and Ecosystems Network, B-E-N-I, BENI, was launched in October 1994, 10 years ago, to utilize electronic communication networks to foster collaboration among partners in ecosystem management. So the EPA is currently working in conjunction with the UNEP. That's the Environmental Protection Agency is currently working with the United Nations Environment Program in the area of air quality monitoring with InfoTerra. InfoTerra, I-N-F-O-T-E-R-R-A. Punch that in your search engine and see what you come up with. That's I-N-F-O, Terra, T-E-R-R-A. Over 90 countries have expressed interest in becoming involved in the GLOBE program, and as of mid-1994, 10 years ago, 14 nations have agreed to collaborate with the U.S. on this initiative. That's the point. We are the leader of sustainable development. It's coming from this country, but it's the U.N. system. We are the U.N. system. And that's the sad situation that we have, America. So sad. So, if you're depressed, I can understand. Darren also sent me this. I don't know whether he recovered it last night or not. Sustainable investment criteria. Have you ever heard of Portfolio 21? Well, this is very, very interesting. It invests in those companies that have shown exceptional leadership in sustainable business practices. Some are changing the landscape of their industries, forcing others to catch up. Others have product lines that are ecologically superior to their competition. In fact, they use ecological principles as a driver for new product design. Others are developing vitally needed technologies to provide cleaner energy sources for the future. Portfolio 21 companies are chosen using a rigorous screening process. First, the leaders of a company selected for consideration in Portfolio 21 must have made an explicit commitment to sustainable business practices and allocated significant resources to advance its goals. Allocated significant resources to achieve its goals. What are they talking about? Money, people. Allocated significant resources, that's money, to achieve its goals. Then through a detailed industry profile, they identify the most critical ecological impacts and issues the company and its industry face. Next, the company is scored against criteria tailored to its industry group and is compared with its competition in such areas as the ecological aspects of its product range, the life cycle impacts of its products and services, relationships with suppliers, investments in sustainable technologies and processes, leadership, resource efficiency, and environmental management. They say they exclude companies with significant business activities in tobacco, gambling, nuclear energy, or weapons. They also exclude companies with negative performance in the areas of employee relations, human rights, community involvement, and product safety. Companies considered for Portfolio 21 must be publicly traded and meet prudent financial requirements. Of particular interest is the composition of a company's earnings. They look most closely at earnings improvements derived from ecologically superior product lines, efficient use and reuses of resources, investments in renewable energy, innovative transportation and distribution strategies, and fair and efficient use of resources with respect to meeting human needs. They say the sustainable investment criteria used to evaluate companies for inclusion in Portfolio 21 are described. In general, the heaviest emphasis is placed on a company's products, services, investments, and leadership, although it is important to note that actual weighting of scores varies based on each company and its industry. It is also important to recognize there are no completely sustainable companies in Portfolio 21. They have identified those they have the greatest potential and highest commitment to work toward a sustainable future. Oh, boy. It's just fascinating how all this is being engineered at us and for us and to us. So they look for companies that fully are interested in the ecological impact of their products, which is not a bad thing, people. And that's the problem. That's the potential disaster we have. So much is good that comes out of these directions. I mean, I'm certainly not one to fill up landfills with styrofoam packing material. But who made the styrofoam packing material? DuPont and offshoot companies such as that. working for the global system. And they're even chastised by the UN system for doing that. We live a Hegelian dialectic, have for years. Well, there's been one side, and that side picks the games to be played. Games people play. And so this Portfolio 21 is very, very attractive to be a part of, is my point. They favor companies that have demonstrated their commitment to sustainability through their investments. These may be capital investments in new plants or equipment in the research and development of ecologically superior products or technologies. Favorable companies may also make merger, acquisition, and divestiture decisions with an eye toward a future which resource availability and quality of life will be significant considerations in determining the success of a business. I don't think Darren covered this last night. If he did, forgive me. Portfolio 21. Research it for yourselves. It's all coming together under Agenda 21. Now, I've got much paper, newspapers that I've saved for you, and I need to get through it tonight. I just got to clear off the test, and let's just start picking through some of this here. Dated last Saturday, they say, amid soaring crude oil prices, gasoline costs have been dropping, but don't expect that to last, economists say. Who are these economists and who do they work for? They say motorists can expect prices at the pump, which fell to a nationwide average of just over $1.87 a gallon last week, to level off or reverse course if crude prices remain near $50 a barrel. That's incredible. They say gasoline prices again could edge toward the $2 a gallon range nationwide in the coming weeks, analysts said. Well, if that's the case, in California, gas will be $3 a gallon. I'm told gas in California is $2.50 a gallon now. That is on the horizon. Gas has got to go up considerably because through the UN system, they want us out of our cars. We've been talking about this for months and years. And this is the point and the way we're going. It's just going to continue. Gas prices are going to rise. How else are they going to get you out of your vehicle? We are stuck in these dilemmas. That most aren't paying attention to. Here we see, regarding the price of oil and gas, dated August 22nd in the books section of the Oklahoman, the days of cheap gasoline are over. So enjoy those fuel-slurping sport utility vehicles, Hummers, pickups, and muscle cars while you can, which research indicates won't be much longer. The story is told by Paul Roberts in the book entitled The End of Oil on the Edge of a Perilous New World. Oil, which feeds the world's economic and transportation engines, is in finite supply, they say. U.S. oil production peaked in 1970, and non-OPEC production from Russia, for example, might peak as early as 2015. Based on current consumption rates and anticipated growth, oil production throughout the world is expected to peak about 2030. We don't know how to get to the bottom of that. I don't know how they get to the bottom of it, the way the restrictions about drilling for oil are. This article states oil is still available, sometimes in significant quantities, but it's harder to reach. More than half the world's proven reserves of crude oil are in the Middle East. It doesn't have to be that way, listeners. More than half the world's proven reserves of crude oil are in the Middle East, which presages even more conflict in that volatile region. But that was all done by design. The Middle East is supposed to be a mess on purpose to create the chaos necessary to bring us into the ultimate one-world government system. And that's what it's all about. That's the design of it all. The Middle East is designed to be a volatile situation. We don't know who's who, but keep in mind, every country has a president for our consumption. And every terrorist is a militia now for our consumption. Leading to the point where someday it's going to come back here, and gun owners and those that believe in a strong militia to defend their country will be vilified. And the dumbed-down populace in this country are going to accept it. Now, you could say this is all foretold in the Bible. With the power structure in place, people, how can you trust the Bible after all these years? Which version of the Bible are we talking about? And which edition of the King James Bible are we talking about? More and more on this as we come back for the second hour of the broadcast.
You must have wondered when I didn't ask your name. Time just wasn't right. I felt you needed your own space. Time just wasn't right.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002.